The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Fred, picture this. It's end of lockdown. The vaccine is being spread around willy-nilly. Things are back to normal life. I head to the Stoop for a Sunday sesh, and BT Sport are covering the game, and I walk into the stadium, and Ugo Monye is there, so doing the commentary, and he sees me, and he goes, mate, you should come and do some with me. And I'm like, listen, mate, I'm with the boys, and also it is about more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, 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 more lash. Ugo chuckles and goes, mate, you're just so jokes. You've just got such good chat. When I finish this, I can come and join you. And I go, Oogs, we're here for a Sunday sesh. We're probably going to head to the ship after it. So come and join us, because it is all about more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. And all of a sudden, like, all the Quinns guys are training, and they're playing Bath, and all the Bath guys, see, you know, are hearing, and they all come over, and they're like, guys, can we get involved afterwards? And I'm like, yeah, guys, don't worry, me and Oogs are going to the ship. You can't jump on our Uber, because I've got to talk to Oogs about some business stuff, mainly investing in my new linen barber jackets. But they all decide to come. We all head to the ship. Everyone's packed. Everyone's happy, because the vaccine's now out, and we're all getting on it. The whole bar stands up, and they all start singing, more lash, more lash, more lash, more lash. More lash, 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 more lash. And we end up getting absolutely steamboated, and it's just back to normal ways, and it's just brilliant.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 6 of the Rig Biz podcast. Tis the season to be jolly, and the man who's going to make you feel absolutely fantastic inside and warm and wonderful is...
It's me.
What?
It's me.
Well, I was going to say it's Ugo Monye, but...
No, it's me.
Okay, well, it's Archie Curzon as well. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm all good, mate. All good. 6 weeks to Christmas, and yeah, pedal to the metal, you know, work-wise. BD is going strong. I'm going to go flying into silly season and make sure it counts.
Well, in the last 7 days, we've had two vaccine announcements, one at 90% success, one at 95%.
Yeah.
And that has sent the FTSE and all the other markets soaring.
Positive. It's positive.
How much money have you been making?
Well, mate, the market is being in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm reaping the benefit from that. It's just great to see that the market has taken that news positively.
Are you still going into work, or are you working from home at the moment?
Still going to work. That's no matter what they say. I'm on the Northern Line, enjoying some Northern Line banter.
And what is the Northern Line banter like now that no one's really commuting?
It's not as good as it used to be, but I'm hoping, you know, end of lockdown, people will be in the Northern Line just enjoying some good old Northern Line banter.
So now that there's no one really commuting into work, how are you creating that atmosphere you used to crave back in the day?
It's tough, mate. It's tough. But... you know, I just close my eyes and I try and picture what the Northern Line was like in 2019, packed,
vintage,
sweaty, and just full of some bloody good chanter. You know, gone are the days where I'm seeking a seat to sit down and read the City AM. Seats are in abundance.
And obviously you've been in lockdown in the evenings. How's that been? You know, living by yourself? Any girls have come around illegally or...
mate. You know, I can't say, mate.
Well,
I
go
can't
on, give say. Us a bit no, of an no, insight. No.
I mean, look, there are a few lucky gals out there,
right? Okay,
that have certainly, you know, I've been enjoying. But yeah, I had an excellent weekend. Enjoyed the rugby. Enjoyed international rugby back on TV on Amazon Prime.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you saw my little.
I did see you.
Cameo.
I was about to bring that up. You were in the Amazon Prime advert. Yeah, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah. It was just great fun.
Have a lot of people recognised you now since that? I mean, obviously they already did, but
not really. But I said it to my dad, and yeah, I think he would have been proud. He hasn't come back to me yet, but I think he would have been really proud.
I'm sure he would have been massively.
You know, just working. Yeah. With Hask and Tins, you know, my two mates, was a real, you know, real pleasure.
And that England Georgia game you were just talking about on Amazon Prime, I mean, they were a sort of walkover, weren't they? Even the Falcons probably could have run
it
ragged.
It does make me think that, you know, maybe, you know, 6 years ago I could have gone out to Georgia and gone and done a job for them.
Yeah, yeah.
It does remind me that England Georgia game of, you know, when we played some minor private schools at rugby and they mm-hmm. just weren't equipped. To deal with, you know, our pace and professionalism.
Okay.
But yeah, no, it was great. I had a few ales, enjoyed the rugby, and then, you know, Sunday I had a really, really nice sort of boarding school Sunday.
A boarding school Sunday?
Yeah,
what's a boarding school Sunday?
It's probably my favourite kind of Sunday. For me, Freddie, I look at London as one big bloody boarding school, and I'm captain of the Clapham House.
Okay.
So Sunday I just spent sorting out everything, making sure my name tags were on my clothes, sorting out my trunk and tuck box, and just listening to some bloody good beats. Have you heard Slide?
No, I haven't.
It's just such a good tune. I just had this.
Give us a bit.
I just had this on. So why don't we slide? So yeah, just listening to a bit of this, and then once I sorted out my toysy, I went downstairs and made a match tea, which was delicious.
What did that consist of?
A match tea.
Yeah, but what did your match tea consist
it's
of?
Probably, it's my cheat meal of the week. It was baked beans, sausages, chips, and an egg.
So like the same you used to get when you're like 9 at prep school.
Yeah. How good's this tune, by the way?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's not as good as our Christmas number one, which we'll talk about later, but it's decent. But Arch, if I can bring you
I
back to the
I just forgot how good Goo Goo Dolls are.
Yeah. Well,
I just forgot
right.
how good Goo Goo Dolls are.
Well, yeah. Talking about, you know, briefly, you mentioned pace and professionalism, which was the undoing of the Georgia rugby team. The guest we have on the show today had that in abundance, didn't he? Mr. Ugo Monye.
Yeah.
I'm excited to eat you the fat with that man.
Oogs is just one of those guys that I feel that we are very similar in a lot of ways. And he's just a good man.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame he's gone into TV because I actually think he would have done bloody well in the city. But I'm interested to talk to him because obviously 2021, I'm looking to probably get into punditry in a bigger way. You know, obviously, I'm a big name in the rugby community. And I think a lot of people on a regular basis would like to hear my thoughts, you know, during a game.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so, you know, I'll see where we get to on that. You know, I think there's definitely something me and Ooze could do together is maybe present on BT Sport.
Okay, well, I'm sure you're going to get the opportunity to pitch that to him. So without further ado, let's not keep him waiting much longer.
Yeah.
Let's get him
just
on.
Just onside chat.
Commercial break. I've got some bloody good news for you, Arch.
All right, what's the banter?
Manscaped are back on board.
Yeah, well, that is bloody good banter.
Yeah, I mean, not
you know
only is there Manscaped.
Because that's just cash in our pockets.
Yeah, it's solid gold cash. Coin, as
they're
it
obviously
were.
Happy with the results we're pulling.
Well, we need people to keep buying stuff because obviously, as you said a couple of weeks ago, this lockdown is giving a great opportunity for all our male listeners and also female listeners if they're so, you know, so inclined.
Can I just
to
say,
get their bodies
can I just
in
say
order?
That a Manscaped kit is perfect for a boarding school Sunday.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, you sort out all your stuff you don't really and then you sort out yourself.
But you don't really have pubes in your prep school, do you?
Yeah, I did near the end, yeah.
Oh, yeah, near the
big
end,
time.
Yeah. Sorry,
big
near
time,
the end.
Big
yeah,
time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sorry. No, that's actually a very good point. Well, guys, if you're listening and you're any sort of 11, 12, 13, get hold of a Manscaped kit. But obviously the...
It would be slightly worrying if there are, you know, 11-year-olds listening to this podcast. This is big boy talk.
It's prime chair. Yeah.
But then again, you know, if they're listening to that, that's only going to benefit them later in life when they come into the city.
Anyway, 79% of partners polled have admitted that, you know, long nose hair and also pubic hair is a major turnoff. So, you know, why be in the minority? Be in the majority and get rid of it all.
Yeah.
You can do that with a weed whacker and also,
don't
of course,
be a wolf, be a sheep.
The Perfect Package bundle includes the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, which is the best trimmer on the market, waterproof, guarantees that you're not going to cut your balls. You know, dads buy this thing, sons buy this thing, women will love you for using this thing. So tis the season to Manscaped. So get yourself, your dad, I know you bought your dad one, didn't you? You said last
yeah,
week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Looking forward to giving that to Alistair.
I really can't wait. Hope, fingers crossed, I'm there for Christmas. We don't know yet because
Why not?
Well, he said that he might have people round. It's tricky, but hopefully, fingers crossed.
Well, he had the family around there, wouldn't
he? Yeah, but I've got to think about my mum. But she normally goes away to Jamaica for Christmas.
Okay, so you don't have to think about her.
Well, if not, I'll just be in Clapham. Someone's going to be looking after the boarding house.
You can't
while
do another Christmas by yourself.
Well,
right?
Don't worry about it. Let's crack on.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
So anyway, guys, get the performance package now, which includes all the things I've listed, and of course Archie's favourite little things, which are the famous liquid formulations for the crop preserver, the ball deodorant, and also the toner and the reviver, which.
So we're basically selling what we did last week.
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously guys, it's the perfect package.
Let's cut to the chase. Go and buy it, guys, because, you know, the more you buy, the more money we make.
Can I just quickly say that because we're doing well and these guys are doing well, they're also giving two free gifts in this box, which are a pair of those sweatless boxers, which you love, you work out in,
yeah,
a PlayStation,
really,
and also that wonderful travel bag you take to away games.
Yeah.
So they're giving those for free, and on top of that, we're also giving you 20% off anything you buy, plus free shipping with the code RIGBIZ20. So go to uk.manscaped.com. And thank Manscaped for making your holes look sexy.
Oh, it's so easy making money, isn't it?
So, Ugo Mouni is a rugby pundit and a former rugby union player who played 14 times for England, 237 times for his only club, Harlequins, and played twice for the British and Irish Lions on their 2009 tour to South Africa. Monnier won both the second division and then the premiership title with Harlequins, as well as winning the European Rugby Challenge Cup. Ugo, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the Rugby's podcast, sir. As we're now back into lockdown,
it's a serious guest, Freddie. This is a serious, serious guest.
I know. I'm
this
incredibly
is a
excited.
Bit. This, I mean, Ugo does a podcast. This is a lot like his podcast, just with a lot more banter.
Yeah, we really struggle on the banter front on our podcast. In fairness, we're perhaps a little bit too serious, so. It was quite nice and refreshing to do something different.
Ugo, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the pod, so I was just saying. Now we're sadly back into lockdown. What are you planning on doing to pass the time? And what did you find hardest about the first time we were all locked up in the spring?
Mate, the toughest thing for me is I genuinely love my job. Like, I'm happy to be a self-proclaimed rugby Norse, and I think it's a real privilege doing what I do. So having that taken away from us was a bit rubbish. You know, just the variety of going to different grounds and great games off the back of a World Cup, it all just felt really exciting. It felt like a really exciting year. So that's what I most struggled with. But the biggest benefit of it was had our second daughter, Ruby.
Congratulations.
2 weeks before we went into lockdown. Thank you very much. So I actually turned into a full-time dad. And that might sound strange, but With my first daughter, Phoenix, who's there in a princess dress, I had 2 weeks off and I went straight back to work. So to be at home and properly get to know my family was awesome. This time's a little bit different because elite sport's still going on. So I'm actually still really busy and spinning a couple of plates outside of rugby. So just got to dig in. It's a bit rubbish and it all feels like doom and gloom, but you've got to find some joy somehow. What are you boys going to be up to?
To be honest, I haven't stopped working. You know, I work in the city and, you know, I've just been, as I keep saying, just pumping the economy, just doing earning the coin, busting a gut and, you know, trying to keep everyone, you know, happy. But, you know, you're welcome, UK. I was just getting used to doing outside lash, which I was quite enjoying. And now I've got to go back to sort of by yourself lash, which isn't as fun.
That isn't fun. That is not fun. I mean, it was fine when they said you could go outside. And honestly, you'd go onto barber.com and every wax jacket was sold out in the leafy suburbs. Canada Goose website crashed as everyone wanted to get their thermals and get, you know, lash proofed, I guess.
A great jacket for lash, I've got to say, is a Raab jacket. A Raab jacket. I don't know if you've seen those about, but highly recommend them. They're windproof and waterproof, and they're a great brand. It does. It sort of says to people, you're making good coin.
Yeah, it does. Are you on commission?
No, not yet. But I mean, we did originally. We had Jack Wills as a chief sponsor, but unfortunately, we're in a big lawsuit with them at the moment. Now we've moved on to Manscaped, which is it's more our bag, okay. Really.
Archie, I think you should tell Oogs about your barber summer jacket idea.
Yeah, I mean, Oogs, I don't know how much you know, but obviously part of something I do is a business called AC Limited, Archie Cousin Limited, and it's an investment arm I've created. And one of the things I was working on in the summer was a a barber jacket made out of linen, so you could wear it outside and you wouldn't get too hot. It was sort of summer proof. It was, again, a great lash garment.
Like a shacket. You're thinking ship in Wandsworth, bank holiday. It's probably quite nice conditions, but slightly overcast. A T-shirt won't do it, but you need an extra layer. You can't be a wax jacket because it doesn't fit the environment or the situation.
Yes.
But a shirt jacket, which not only gives you gravitas and credence and people look at you and go, he knows his fashion, but also it's really practical.
Yeah, no, exactly. And to be fair, you will be getting one sent in the post straight after this.
Thank you. You're
more than welcome. A number of other people have got them who've come on the pod. Tom May, but unfortunately his rig doesn't really fit it. It's too square.
This is where I struggle though, because I'm like double XL shoulders, but like medium in the waist.
No, so me and you've
got to accommodate. Great.
Me and you've got very similar chassis, so
yes.
It's fine.
Oogs, we're going to take you back to the 80s because you were born in North London in Islington in the early 80s. What are your childhood memories of growing up in that neighbourhood? And were you a bit of a troublemaker when you grew up?
I don't think I was a troublemaker. I was really energetic. I loved being outside, just playing sport. And in fact, I wanted to play football. In North London, probably quite similar to how it is today, it was like highly populated with football. You got Tottenham, you got Arsenal. I chose the red over the white. My dad's actually a Tottenham fan. So my life growing up in inner city London wasn't probably too dissimilar to many, but rugby most definitely wasn't a thing then. One, African household, both parents Nigerian, don't know what rugby is. And B, being in an inner city, just wasn't played. So rugby came a little bit later in life, age 13. But yeah, I guess up until that time, it was just like rugby athletics.
It's quite similar to my background. Although I was sort of brought up in Surrey, but I didn't find rugby until quite late. I found skiing, but my mum wasn't really into skiing as well. But yeah, very similar.
I feel like we've had like perhaps parallel lives. That's how it feels to me. You're
exactly.
Like in Surrey, mine inner city, both keen on sports. Yours was more high end than mine. I just needed a football, you needed a chalet and 50k holidays. There's a lot of synergy between the two of us.
And it's interesting because my father supports a very different polo team to me, so again there's a lot of synergy.
Mental.
There
that's crazy.
Ooze, can you remember who or what got you into playing rugby initially? You said you didn't really watch it as a kid. So really, who sparked that interest and that love for the game?
It's a school I went to. So my mum ended up sending me to a private school and I rocked up. And I mean, sport's a brilliant vehicle, isn't it? Just to get people to get to know one another. It's always been like that in my life. And turned up expecting to run outside and play football. And the comment I got was, we don't play chav ball at this school. We play rugby. So I thought I'd been stitched up, packed off, sent off to private school, out from the inner city into the countryside down in Hampshire. And then they didn't even play the sport that I thought I was quite good at and I really enjoyed. So that was my introduction to it. It was nothing more complicated than that. But geez, I'm obviously pretty chuffed that I was.
Yeah, and that you're like I never called it chav ball. I call it kev ball. Whenever they brought the circular ball out of school, I had to say no, lads. Let's get the egg shake ball back out, guys.
Oogs. Yeah. You were educated at Lord Wandsworth College in Hampshire, a school best known, apart from yourself, for producing World Cup winner and sort of sex icon, Mr. Johnny Wilkinson.
Yeah.
You were 4 years younger than him. Did your pass ever cross? And if so, what are your memories?
Yeah, we were at the same boarding school. At the same boarding school, we're in the same boarding house, sorry, is what I meant to say. So our pass didn't cross. Our pass crossed a few times, but we never ever got to play against one another. But I remember like watching him whenever there was Daily Cup matches at the school, everyone would go round. So at one point during his school time, we had Pete Richards, who went on to play for England at number 9, and Johnny Wilkinson at 10. Johnny, in terms of everything he's achieved, there's absolutely no coincidence why, when you understand some of his behaviours. Like age 15, when we were messing around at break time, lunchtime, genuine now, he was out practicing his kicking off left foot, right foot. His dad would come in after school training, That would be done by the school, and then his dad would come in and he would spend time practicing his kicking, his tackling and all the rest of it. He was brilliant at cricket. He was actually quite decent at basketball as well. He's one of those kind of slightly frustrating human beings because there's just no, there's no mud on him. There's no dirt on him. You can dig as much as you want. He was like an A-grade student. He was brilliant at every single sport. He took us as far as we ever, to the highest part as we ever got in the Daily Mail Cup. I think it was a semi-final. I forgot we lost to. But yeah, he was unbelievable. Went out with a head girl at school. He's just one of those guys who's just brilliant at everything.
I recently listened to his chat on the High Performance podcast.
Yeah.
Gotta say, sounds like a really good bloke, but not sure he'd be any good on the lash.
He's intense. He is really intense, and I think at times he's pretty much sacrificed his body for the game. But then, I mean, he's an absolute icon. He's a legend of our game. You know, everyone remembers 2003. Whether you like rugby or not, he's one of those guys where you can just say his first name and people know who you're talking about. Mm. He is King Johnny, isn't he? He's an absolute legend. But you know, they're perhaps the levels and the depths that you have to go to get that level of achievement. So fair play to him. He's inspirational. It's great to see that he's still involved in the rugby now.
He's a man I very much look up to. I mean, I play 10 for the Clapham Falcons, and you know,
we're heard of him. Yeah,
yeah. So we're semi-pro, but I suppose I take his sort of mental game more into the city. You know, I'll be connecting with people on LinkedIn, you know, times where people have gone home, I'll be on LinkedIn, you know, connecting, trying to arrange meetings, you know, putting in notes into the CRM system to chase the next day. So I've taken that mentality into the city, but, you know, on the pitch, on the night out, I guess I'm more a mixture of Cipriani, Ollie Barkley, and probably Benders. So yeah, those three guys.
Okay. Yeah, instinctive, flairy, once of a generation type of talent on the pitch. Off the pitch in your job, you're a relentless dragon. However, Johnny, get us a World Cup. We're about to enter into a double recession and about to Brexit. So your full-time job's really letting you down. But I guess we can excuse all of it when you're a mix of a Benton on Barkley and Cipriani.
Exactly. And funny enough, what you just said is the first paragraph in my Hinge profile.
We had Ben Foden on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he had sort of a similar sort of career path to you, as it were, in terms of education, going to a public school, you know, from a sort of slightly different background to some of the other schoolboys. So can you recall sort of what it was like for you to get to a public school in Hampshire, and sort of, you know, rugby in public schools has an amazing sort of niche community, but a very powerful one. So can you recall your sort of underage loose nights out with the rugby boys?
Underage loose nights out with the rugby boys. Yeah, I can recall them. So I was like a full-time boarder and I loved it. So at the weekends, although I should have been staying at school, so my daughter's telling me to shoot my cage. I'd spend a lot of time at the weekends at my friend's house, who are all part of rugby teams. And my first drinking experience was at a good friend of mine. His name's Stan Ennell-Glynn. Had to be double barrel because that's what you have to have if you go to private school.
Sure.
And We went out in Fleet's. Fleet's not a massive or great night out, but when you're age 17, it was like being at Las Vegas. Came back to his house, weren't allowed to stay in his house. We had to stay in the pool house because we didn't want to wake up his mum and his grandma and everything else. And I was furiously sick in the showers and then slept on the couch. And I think I may have even been sick a couple more times. I mean, nights out, as a 17-year-old, regardless of what sport you play or who you are or what you do or where you went to school, are always going to end up looking fairly similar, I think.
And now some words from our commercial partner, AC Limited. Investing your money in the future so you don't have to worry.
Introducing Boarding House Beats from AC Limited. Are you ready to relive those boarding school memories? Introducing 17 of the hottest superstars in one double CD album. This power collection will move you into a new dimension. Smash hits from Radiohead, The Goo Goo Dolls, Semisonic, Weezer, and much, much more. Coming to you this Christmas.
Oogs, pre-making it as a stand-up rugby player, you were sort of an incredibly talented athlete competing at the English school championships and running the 100 metres in merely sort of a second and a third short of Usain Bolt's record time at the age of 18. Now, we know you didn't pursue a career in athletics because you then joined Harlequins straight from school in 2002, but you seemed to make more of a name for yourself playing rugby sevens for England. So how fun was it to go, you know, all around the world and play a bit of rugby but get absolutely loose? And what was the best city to tour to? And can you recall the messiest nights you experienced with the Sevens boys?
Imagine being 19, traveling the world, business class, representing your country. That's what I was doing. It was unbelievable. And I don't say that to try and be like, wasn't that really, not to be big head or anything like that. But like, as a 19-year-old, that was ridiculous. So I honestly thought that this professional game that I'm now embarking my career upon is just ridiculous. I was living the dream. I mean, all we did on the Sevens was chase the sun. Started in Brisbane, went to New Zealand, Hong Kong, Singapore, LA, Las Vegas, Paris. I mean, it was a joke. My first year, I barely even played for Harlequin. So I loved it. Hong Kong Sevens, by far the best tournament. And you could even tell that people, because we played in the World Cup Sevens in 2004, I think it was. Anyway, I forgot. I think it was 2004. The teams that got knocked out of the quarterfinal, semi-final stages were just as happy as the team that ended up winning the World Cup. Because once you're knocked out, they all end up in the South Stand with fans that have been flat out boozing for the last 48 hours. It was insane. And so for me, living this kind of fairly sheltered life from 13 to 18, at boarding school, then traveling the world, like thinking this life is ridiculous. It can't be real and it's not sustainable. And in fairness, it wasn't, but I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I've got to say, I owe a lot to Sevens for my career because it was a great playground to gain confidence, understand what it was to work under high pressure environment, be part of a team and everything else that involves in the travelling part of Sevens. It's a shame that it's obviously on its knees at the moment. I hope the boys come back and able to compete at the Olympics next summer, if we ever get to that point.
Well, yeah, it's interesting you say that. I mean, I've got two questions. First and foremost, guys who play Sevens, do not worry. Like I said, we had Hoppers on the podcast a few weeks ago for a pre-season fixture. And nice. Me and him are looking at a couple of investment sort of opportunities to sort of boost the money. And one idea is just to make it full time in Clapham Common. We feel like that could really bring the crowds. And then obviously, you know, Oogs, don't worry, we'll sort you out as well. But anyone that plays in the tournament would be able to get free into Infernos. So just one of those.
Huge jump.
Yeah, cue jump. No, Oogs, I'm the CEO of Clapham. If you ever want to come to Infernos, I can sort out a table, no problem.
Seriously?
Yeah. So,
Did Danny tell you about his little scrap in Infernos on Harlequin Fancy Dress social?
No, but no, he didn't actually. But Dozza told us about getting flung out by the bouncers quite severely. What happened with Kersey?
So we had a fancy dress. I think it was like Olympic themed or whatever. So Danny was dressed as like a Mexican boxer. Don't know why Mexican, but he was dressed as a Mexican boxer with like oversized boxing gloves. Him and Jordan Turner Hall were just like messing around. It's whatever time, 1 o'clock in the morning, whatever. And Danny's just like jabbing away at Jordan. The bouncers come in to break it up because they thought they were fighting. And we were like, mate, relax. They're just messing around. He didn't believe that they were friends and just having a bit of a laugh. They're now trying to plead with him, saying like, just like leave us alone, stop like being a massive nose basically, and we'll just crack on with our night. Anyway, he's not having it. He wants to be the alpha male in amongst all these rugby boys. So he's like pulled them to one side, taking them over to the stairs, and he's like trying to give them their marching orders, and the boys are like, no, it's the end of season, fancy dress, like we're not leaving. So it's a bit of a tete-a-tete. The bouncer's now at the top of the stairs. One hand, he's got Danny in, the other hand, he's got Jordan in. And the boys are like, no, we're not having this. Knowing the bouncer wanted to throw him down the stairs, they tugged him as well. So they all went flying down the stairs. And you know how steep the stairs are. It's like two sets of stairs. And at the bottom of the stairs, a massive fish tank. And it was honestly like something out of Mission Impossible. They've hit this fish tank, smashed it, fish gone everywhere. And you end up on a dance floor, and genuine, there's people dancing around with fish in their hands. And that carpet is a disgrace anyway. You can imagine just the stench of it. So I think it's fair and safe to say that the boys are kept a low profile at Infernus for a little while after that.
Listen, that is some seriously good banter, and that's what should be happening on a rugby night out. And what I'm going to say is that, I say this, CEO Clapham, the Quinns boys are welcome there any time. That behaviour should be more acceptable in Infernos.
That was a brilliant story. Oogs, if I can take you back to your international days quickly, what are your memories of your England debut and that remarkably tough autumn international series against Australia, South Africa and New Zealand, apart from the fact that you were automatically $100,000 better off?
I mean, the debut was like unbelievable. We're talking about it just earlier on our podcast. Not as good as this podcast, but we also have a podcast talking about rugby.
No, it's a good podcast. I listen to it. There's some really good chat.
Cheers, mate.
Really good chat. I enjoy it a lot.
Cheers. But what I said on there was, in terms of the emotions that you feel, it's no different regardless of like what level you've played at. If you've played amateur level, semi-pro, played for England, the emotion's still the same. It's just heightened a little bit more. The way I see it is, anyone listening to this, you'd have had your mum, your dad, brothers, sisters, whoever, watch you play rugby, play the flute, sing in the choir. When my mum came to school and watched me play rugby, I always looked for her. So imagine what that feels like to yourself, times that by 82,500 people, and that's what it feels like running out for England. It's just everything. It's unbelievable. So that was a great day. But it's not just a day for yourself. It's a day for like the people that put you there, my mum, massive influence, teachers, people that believed in you and gave you opportunities along the way. So as much as you're stood there and you've got the privilege to play for England, you're stood there in the place of absolutely everyone that's contributed to you being in that moment. So that's kind of how it felt. But then the rest of the series was pony, wasn't it? Yeah. You took a hammering.
On a brighter note, in 2009, having performed well for both club and country, you were selected for the British and Irish Lions to tour South Africa, where you ended up being the Lions' top scorer of the whole series with 5 tries. Yeah. However, it was a tour of huge highs and crippling lows. You had a try held up in the first test and then not won over the line in the second half of the first test, but then redeemed yourself impeccably with a 17-metre intercepted try. But we want to know, however, what's the social like on the tour? Who did you get on best with? Who was loosest of the nights out? Who could put away the most? And which of the squad surprised you with their lack of thirst for getting out and having a good time?
That was the last tour where you could go out midweek and weekends. Like we were literally discussing this last week. I mean, I was lucky to be on one tour for the likes of your O'Driscolls, your O'Connells, O'Garas, Stephen Joneses, you know, your rugby centurions. When you asked them what was their favourite tour, they all say 09. And we had a collective buy-in that we'd go out after every single game, and we'd go out as a squad. And don't get me wrong, we worked incredibly hard. You know, you've got Sir Ian McGeoghegan as your head coach and Warren Gatland and Sean Edwards as your coaches. Like, you work bloody hard. But that was the last tour before social media became such a huge influence. I remember turning up to a nightclub on a Wednesday night with every single member of the Lions on our Lions bus. And the Lions bus is far from subtle. It's painted red and it has Lions written down the side of it with a huge Lions head. It was parked outside the nightclub and we all walked off the bus straight into the club. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, we got back. You just can't do that today. Can't do it today. And it's nuts. Who was one of, I remember, I think Andy Powell, I think he was out 11 of the last 14 days on that tour. He was out on the chop because he knew at that point he wasn't going to play a test match. So he just went out. Once again, he couldn't do that today, and I probably wouldn't advocate it either. But he was unbelievable. One of the best stories was, so it was after third test. Like, it's 7 weeks on tour, long season. Everyone's now got a break, and people are booking flights to go and flights to Vegas, all the rest of it. So after the third test, we had a huge night, which was then going to be backed up with Super Sunday. Andy Powell shared a room with him that night. So before a match, you know what it's like, Archie. A match, you're taking caffeine tablets just to get yourself like buzzing, all the rest of it. And you'd normally take two of these tablets and you're like flipping, flying. Because of Powell's commitment to the piss, he had four of them on this night out because he wanted to be feeling good for like Super Sunday.
That's strong.
So anyway, yeah, really good from him. So we've gone to bed about 4 a.m. or something like that. We shared a room together, and about, I don't know, we probably put our head down for 10 minutes. Next thing you know, I just hear, and he just sits bolt upright like the Undertaker out of WWE. And I'm like, what's going on, Paddy? What's going on? Flicks the light on. Guy was having heart palpitations because he had so many caffeine tablets, as well as like vodka Red Bulls and everything else. And I was like, are you okay? You're okay. And with Powley, because he's such a like extravagant character, it takes you a little while to figure out whether he's taking a mic or not, because we had been out all night and they're like, what are you doing? He's like, he's having heart palpitations. I was like, okay, well, are you being serious? Like, I'm being deadly serious. Like, yeah, but let's not play on the word deadly. Anyway, so we then... I like went to knock on the team doctor's room. Doctor wouldn't answer the door, wondering what's going on. I've like come back into the room and I can't see Pauly. And I'm like, Pauly, Pauly. And I open the bathroom door and he sat completely naked on the toilet with his phone in his hand, saying goodbye to his dog because he thought he was dying.
Oh my God. Mate, the guy is extraordinary.
So he was like saying goodbye to his dog on his phone. His dog was a screensaver, and fortunately, like, he was fine. And then so he went to sleep for a few hours, but the next morning was amazing because Daniel Craig, who's a big rugby fan, sent 12 bottles, 12 magnums of Bollinger to our hotel, and we went down to breakfast, and there was 12 bottles of Bollinger from Daniel Craig.
Love Bolly.
Love Bolly. And so we had this like lovely champagne breakfast the next morning, and then enjoyed another really good day and night out.
Mate, he's a man we've tried to get on the pod a few times, but unfortunately he doesn't have a phone and not even an email address, and I don't believe he can read. We've been told by Reece Priestland just to send a pigeon. That's your best hope.
Yeah, he's an incredible character. Like, I didn't really know Andy Powell at all before that tour. Got to say, the Welsh lads, brilliant. If there's a beer, they're drinking. Like, they're having a beer. They're some of the most sociable people I ever meet. And I got on so well with all of them, in fairness. But Powley's just, he's one of life's unique characters. They're just not many of him in the world.
Oogs, just before you go, we ask all our guests to finish off what their biggest regret and their sort of career high, their career highlight has been. So what is your biggest regret and also your overriding highlight?
Oof. Bloody heck, your biggest regret?
Apart from missing out on the 2011 World Cup.
Apart from missing out on the 2011 World Cup. Oh my gosh. That's such a big question. What answers have you had from people that have come on previously?
A lot of them have said their biggest regret is not getting to know me earlier in their career.
True.
Some have said coming on here. Others...
Okay.
What have we had? Oh, Jim Hamilton gave us a good one about, he was very deep, and I think his biggest regret was doing a podcast with Goody.
Oh my gosh. Biggest regret was not utilising my time in Clapham enough, because I think if I'd got to know you, I could have perhaps been more of an influencer today.
Yeah.
And I've never had the opportunity to play for Clapham Falcons whilst I was still in my rugby prime. So that sometimes I think about. And, you know, like since we've had lockdown, we've had lots of time to ponder, think, reflect.
Yeah.
That's been one of those things that have eaten away at me. So, yeah, I just wish I perhaps had you, or I just met you earlier in my life before, you know, I got married and had kids and stuff. And, you know,
No, that's fair. That's a that's probably one of the best answers we had there. And I'm going to say I agree.
Oh, you've never been my wingman. You've never been my wingman. That's a big regret as well.
Yeah. And your career high?
Play for the Lions. That try, which you mentioned earlier, is like the best moment I ever had in rugby. And the simplest way I can describe it is score try 70 metres. Well, that's just under 7 seconds, whatever it is. It took 13 years of work to get that 7 seconds. But if I had to do another 13 years for those 7 seconds, I would do it again because it was that good.
Future and poetry.
That is some seriously good C.H.A.T. chat.
Ugo, you're an absolute legend. Mate, thank you so much for giving us your time.
Thank you so much, mate, for giving us the time. We massively appreciate it.
Take it easy. Thanks for having me.
Ugo, thank you so much.
Cheers, Ugs. Take it easy, mate.
Ugo Monier, what?
Nobody knows it, but Ugo's got a secret smile, and he uses it only on me.
You're right.
Don't use it. Don't abuse it. Oh,
are you okay?
Sorry, man, but that interview was just such good pitter-patter. Ugo is just a top man.
Well, I think
just another guy with a blue tick who follows me.
I think those two
and enjoyed my chat.
Those two stories about
nobody knows it, but Ugo's got a secret smile and he uses it only on me.
The
use it. Don't abuse
it. You're right, mate. I'm getting worried now.
I'm just giddy.
Okay, cool. Oh, I don't
know. I've got
you.
Music running through my veins from boarding school Sunday.
Yeah.
We've got to get that playlist up.
Yeah, yeah.
So
we'll share
good.
It on the Rugby's account, definitely.
Have you heard the song Iris by Goo Goo Dolls?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Just remind me.
Yeah, it's so good. It's okay. So good. Get on that. Get okay. on that.
I'll make
it's
it,
still
I'm it
so
out.
Relevant.
Just quickly.
Oogs, yeah. Top
obviously,
guy.
Oogs.
Top
those
guy.
Two
top
stories
guy.
About Andy Powell and obviously Kersey getting thrown into a fish tank. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah,
that's what we live for.
If I'm being honest, I knew we'd get on well because Kersey's one of my very close mates. And I know Oogs.
I thought he wasn't getting mad to you about
no, no,
the music
no, video. He's not. He's busy, mate. He's busy. I'm busy.
He's not that busy. They're on off-season, aren't they?
No, no, no. A lot of people are busy. But look, when you follow me on Instagram, you automatically become my friend. That's why, when people say on my Hinge profile, I say I've got nearly 42,000 friends.
Right, okay.
It's quite incredible.
That is quite amazing. I wish it was the
case. I'm not even counting the connections on LinkedIn.
Yeah, and you still can't get invited anywhere for Christmas. It's quite a sad world.
No. My dad would be bloody impressed. Wait till I see him and tell him that.
Okay. Well, I just hope you can get to see him. No, honestly, Ugo was absolutely fantastic. And are we going to try and get him on the Christmas number one, or is it a bit too late, do you think?
I think it could be too late. You know, we're far down the road now. But I'm hoping, fingers crossed, we'll get him on there. We'll see.
He's
more
of a business mind. He'll support it and market
don't,
it.
Don't give too much away. Clody, because we've got some big names, we've got some big surprises, and it's going to be unbelievably good chanter.
So guys, once again, we're lucky enough to be joined in the business section by the wonderful Sons, or Care for Sons on Instagram. These guys are giving
strong
back
brand,
your
strong
lid.
Brand. Strong they, brand yeah. with a lot of coin, and they've given it to us to advertise. But in short, Clody.
You want to take it?
Yeah, I'm just going to say, I'll just talk to the people. You know, you can give them all the advertising spiel, mate, but the people who listen to this, they get my chat. What I'm going to say is, the kind of guy this is targeting? The kind of guy who always wears a beanie out. Mm. Even in summer, he's wearing a beanie, always wearing a hat. He never really wants to get his lid out. That kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're that guy, don't be ashamed. Get on the sun, sort it out. You won't have to wear your hat the whole time.
Well, these guys are the real magicians.
I've got a mate that we call Hat.
You call Hat?
Yeah. Because he's got like a really bad lid. It's really sad. He went on a family holiday to South Africa when he was 15, and they got held hostage by people. And he suffered shock and lost his hair. And it was awful.
Well, I hope
not the situation. His hair was awful.
Right,
and he used to always try and wear a hat. We go to school discos. Any his favorite kind of holiday, what do you think it was? Skiing. Because if you wear a beanie.
Or a helmet. Yeah.
So, hat. Mate, I know you're listening. Get on this, buddy. Because this will sort your lid out.
This is a non-invasive way to get your hair back. So go on the Sun's website and type in the code RIGBIZ25. That's going to get you £25 off their three-month plan, which guarantees that you're going to get your hair back. Works in over 90% of men, 9 out of 10 men. So guys, now is your perfect chance in lockdown to get that lid back.
You know who'd be a great target?
Who?
Prince William.
Yeah,
true. He probably listens to this.
Well, I'm sure he does. Should we send him one?
Well, no, he's got the money to pay for it. He doesn't need any more freebies.
So, Archie, what is the big business story this week? How can we help our listeners to sort of succeed even more so in the city?
I mean, look, we talked at the beginning that the market is full of confidence at the moment with the vaccine on its way. And one thing I've been doing with my team is a power hour.
What's a power hour?
Power hour is phenomenal. We now are doing it every 2 days. It's an hour where we just dedicate to boshing and melting the phones.
Right.
Creating opportunities, talking to clients, making sure that they know that we are full of confidence and giving them confidence in us. So my little tip to everyone out there, businesses, people working in companies, set yourself a target for your power hour. If that's going to be 100 calls, make 100 calls. And you can, a little bit of fun.
Go on.
At the end of this month, we're doing a power day. So we won't be having 12 hours, no lunch break, just absolutely sizzling the phones.
Jesus,
and we're hoping that will provide us with a very, very exciting December.
Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to another fantastic episode.
What a bloody good pod. Guests keep coming thick and fast.
Just a thought that which has popped into my mind, Arch. Yeah. If London was a boarding school, as you said, what house would your dreaded Putney be?
Well, Clapham is obviously that boarding house that's bloody good at sport. It's just got loads of good athletes. Might not be academically strong, but that won't matter because when they leave school, they'll have the right connections to get the right jobs. Putney, on the other hand, obviously is a day house, you know, full of day boys, you know, with their shit sort of day boy inside jokes, you know, full of like rowers and hockey players.
Always whinging.
Like little skinny chassis.
Yeah.
Who are like, they're smug about going back to their parents.
Yeah.
You know,
we don't want to go back.
I don't want to go back to my parents.
No.
Well, I'm happy going back on an exit. Yeah, and if I miss that exit, then I'll go a half term.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
They don't want you to go back.
Yeah. They don't get the chat. Yeah. I don't need to see my parents the whole time. Would it be nice? Yeah, maybe. Would it be nice once in a while to go home on a Thursday night?
Especially for Christmas.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I'm okay. I'm comfortable. That's why I'm so strong. Because I was in Clapham. I'm in Clapham boarding house.
Okay.
And there's always things going on.
Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to
fucking
this episode.
Putney. Ugh.
Guys, also don't forget.
It's so annoying. It's so close to Clapham, Freddie.
I know. What can we do about it, mate? But what we can do is get our listeners to get involved in some of the most incredible merchandise in the world. Obviously, we sold out on these bubble hats, but there's still loads of hats from Rets Club, so go on the Rets Club website. And also, if you go on the Stash website in our bio...
Actually, that's another thing. Hat, if you're listening, buy the Suns, but also go on the Rex website because there's loads of lids for you.
It takes one to 3 months to work, so use the hats in that time.
Yeah.
Hey, you're very clever.
No wonder
you do so well.
No, well, I spot opportunity.
Okay, well, guys, don't forget, we've only got a week or so left of November, so get on to the Stash website and get those teddy bear shirts because for every shirt sold, a donation is made to Movember.
Yeah, but also, a lot of it goes in our pocket as well, so keep doing that.
Oh, should we tell them who we got next week, or should we...
No, keep that surprise, mate.
Yeah.
I think people are going to... absolutely love it.
Let's just say it's a big one.
It's naughty. It is naughty.
Arch, just a quick note on...
The guest I'll describe next week is just cheeky.
And just a quick note on the single, where are we up to? We've obviously recorded
music video being done this week, and the record will be pre-released in 2 weeks' time.
The record's going to come out in a couple of weeks to buy.
More to come on that, because I'm going to have to address the nation one more time. Be prepared.
We're talking about addressing the nation, Archie. If you could give one pearl of wisdom for the week, what would it be?
My pearl of wisdom, silly season is literally around the corner. We've got 2 weeks to silly season. Okay, Freddie? And I find, you know, you want your chassis to be in the best nick possible because it's going to take a severe beating. Am I right?
Mince pies.
So I find, you know, you should be in a really big calorie deficit. You know, if I find when I'm hungry, it keeps me hungry in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my pull.
So starve yourself, essentially.
Well, yeah. We'll be right back.
down and I'm wondering why these little black clouds keep walking around with me, with me. And the worst time and I'd rather be high. Think of what we outside and about Rainbow Smile, but they're free. They are free.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.